This is an emergency broadcast of the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. This is not a drill. Remove any children and pets from your home and go to your nearest shelter. Remember to at all times listen to the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. And whatever you do, do not under any circumstances trust what you see.
So,
yeah.
The bad news is I have no fun cheese to get us started today.
It's because, I mean, you know, it's not Sunday. It's a Wednesday. You have less time to get ready for it. But see, it shows our dedication, Topher. We're doing it on a weekday because we missed. Well, I missed.
I missed too. I was asleep when you tried to record on Sunday. So it's partially on me as well.
Yeah, I was late though. Usually we do it like kind of in the morning. And then I had a really long day at Disneyland. It was really nice.
I bet you guys had a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, yeah. And for the first time, we stayed in a hotel. Like, we didn't come home, like drive home, which is nothing. Anyway.
And we had a terrible hurricane on Sunday.
Yes, and that's why we came back so early instead of hanging out at the pools, because we were worried that it was such a big deal, right? Like, Gavin Newsom is signing emergency acts on a Humvee. I mean,
they made such a big deal out of it, and I mean, I don't know what it was like for you, but for me, it was like a little bit of rain, and it was kind of windy.
It was kind of windy. There was like 3 or 4 gusts of wind, you know. But there was a tree that did fall, a big one that was near that's near the house. It though. I mean, you know,
To be fair, like, my drive to work, there was stuff all over the road, like,
yeah, you know,
from trees and bushes and stuff.
Right.
But it really, we didn't get the full Florida experience like I was expecting and kind of hoping for.
I know, I was too. I was really excited about it. And then, you know, it was just like a normal storm. But apparently hurricanes, it's the hot weather and the hot water that makes it a hurricane. Once it hits cold weather or colder, like, you know, the Pacific Ocean here is cold, right? Or, Mexico, it's not that cold. But once it hit here, it dissipated.
Yeah.
But it went crazy in the desert. Like, the Inland Empire, Vegas, they got hit hard because it's hot there.
Yeah, I know Vegas got hit a lot harder than we did.
Yeah, and the Inland Empire. So, like, the desert, they had floods.
Yeah, I saw the news articles about it.
I know someone in Baja, and she was terrified, but then she said nothing really happened. It was more inland. Same thing, not near the shore.
Which is weird, because anytime you see the footage of hurricanes on the East Coast, like, the shore is getting completely torn apart.
I wonder why. I guess it has to do with the cold water, but I thought all bodies of water, or most bodies of water, are cold. I guess ours is freezing. Maybe that's what's going on.
I have no idea.
Well, cool. It is a Wednesday, and we don't want Jeremy Corbell to catch up with us. He's on episode 31. This is episode 34.
And this is episode 34 of the Uncovering Anomalies podcast.
That's UAP. Right.
UAP. Now, that is I Want to Believe Adam.
Yes.
And I am Tip Top Topher. And we are going to dive into it, baby.
Are you in tip top shape today?
No, I'm exhausted. It was I got to work extremely early, and it was a long day.
Yeah, I mean, usually what I do on Wednesdays is I have minimal meetings because I want to do actual work, you know. But of course, I was forced into 3 meetings. Yeah. So yeah, I hear you, man. I you know, it's a tiring day of work, but here. We love you, listeners. You, all you CIA and Mossad and KGB and MI5 officers listening to us.
We're That's doing the majority of our user base. On,
I know. I was thinking about it.
Your listener base.
Isn't that hilarious? I wanted to start with our great...
government agents.
Yeah, government agents. He's not a government agent, though. He's a Canadian. This actor, Dan Aykroyd. Great clip of him.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes. The one who wrote...
Famous Ghostbusters.
Yes. And he wrote... He's co-writer, right, of Ghostbusters? Or is he the writer?
Yeah. He's also a huge UFO nut, which is pretty cool.
Huge. Yeah, he has great knowledge. You know, one of the documentaries that really convinced me was one I think he produced or was part of. And
is that the one where he's the narrator?
It might be that one. It's called NASA something evidence. What is it called? Silver Bullet? Not so. Oh man, I forget now. But it was NASA footage that was leaked, right? Not official. It was this guy, a Canadian. He was a satellite operator. Tubbs or something. Oh,
that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, but okay. Yes.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it either.
But that's when I saw those, and I think it was in the early 2000s. I was like, that's it. I'm convinced. You know, I was always on the fence about this subject until I saw those. It was just so bizarre seeing those videos. And, you know, I love that it was leaked and it was off public channels. And this guy just recorded hundreds of hours, went through all of them and said, all right, here you go. Enjoy. So he was part of that. Did you want to say something?
No, let's play the clip.
All right. Yeah. Let's listen to him. He's very knowledgeable.
You know, I've seen four. So two in a high altitude sighting and one fairly close at the farm a couple of years ago. And then one really, really weird one in Montreal, the 23rd floor of the Queen Elizabeth Hotel. I'm sitting there with some friends and I see this. It looked like an air mattress, but 100 feet long by 50 feet wide, tipped over with the bulbs on the bottom. And it was moving slowly, you know, and just it stopped and then it turned and it went out over the river. And we were going, what's that thing, you know? MUFON, MUFON.com. You want to get on there? There's sightings every week. There's pictures, photographs. People have cameras now. Lord Hill Norton, who was a British defense staff executive, said that we're being visited by 23 different species and 23 different kinds of ships. You know, I'm not alone in this. You know, this is, you know, there's aviator, the Lawrence Rockefeller, the great philanthropist. He would watch these things come down and park in front of his house up in Kikewood here, up the Hudson River, and they would wink at him, and he finally...
Did he say Kikewood?
I don't know.
I'm halfway there.
I thought it was Wikewood with a W, but maybe that's what he said. I don't know.
These things. And so he did a study, the Rockefeller Report, and he went around basically... paid some investigators to go around to sheriffs and law enforcement and pilots and get their stories. And if you want to Google a good one, Fortenberry Nash, Miami Herald, 1947. They saw 8 discs. They were flying a Capital Airlines plane from Miami, and it made the Miami papers. There's thousands and thousands of people have seen. John Mack was a Harvard psychiatrist who was studying the concept of abductions when he died. And he wrote a book about it called Abduction. And there's a great movie about what he was working on at the end of his life. It's called The Aerial Phenomenon. And there were some school kids in Zambia, and they went out for recess. There were about 40 of them. And two orbs landed with creatures, and they came out and interacted with the children. And when they came back into class, they were animated, they were excited, they were disturbed. And the parents and the teachers were, what happened out there? So now they've gone back 20 years later to re-interview these witnesses.
He's talking about the aerial school, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's such a UFO nerd. He knows so much, too. He's talking about that one.
Yeah.
The one thing
I remember, well, I'm not remembering it correctly, obviously. Because I never remember anything correctly, but the original Ghostbusters script that he wrote was something crazy, like 400 pages.
What?
And they had to cut it way, and they were like going to alternate dimensions, and the ghost in the movie script, they were like going to alternate dimensions and fighting aliens and stuff like that. I mean, he's a huge UFO nerd.
Oh my god, I did not know it got that deep, but yeah, that's Hollywood for you. I mean, it actually wouldn't have done well if they did it the way he wanted it.
Right. No, of course not. All right. So what do you have next?
Now, this, I think, is the UFOs over
the White House.
White House in the 50s.
I was going to say, I think it's 1952, if I remember correctly.
But I think this is not the original footage, and it might have been touched by AI. I mean, and that's why it's so clear. 1952. Yeah, 1962, you're right. Look at that memory. So there they are.
It was a big deal. I mean, newspapers were reporting about this.
Yeah.
52. That's Eisenhower, right?
That is Eisenhower. Yes, it is Eisenhower. And
this is supposedly when he met with them and signed the Gaeta Treaty.
Yeah, a little later after that, exactly. I mean, it was the flap that was going on from 1947 to like 1955. They were just everywhere, all over the country.
But weren't these ones like tracked down from Canada? Like they had them on radar.
Oh yeah, they had them on radar the entire time. They did not hide. They wanted to be seen, and they went over the Capitol on purpose.
Yeah,
I think we even sent a reported flying saucer over U.S. airspace in 1947. Oh wait, not 1947. 50 years. Oh, here it is. Oh, sorry. This is the National Archives. So this is a featured image of the National Archives. They had a, and this is a pic. This is in Santa Ana, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So, I think so, right? Oh, sorry, Riverside, California, November 23rd, 1951, National Archives. So this is the official museum.archives.gov that they released these. So they're declassified from Project Blue Book. And then this picture here, featured image, is what we just saw of the flying saucers that buzzed the Capitol or the White House, which must have been scary if you are president.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, that especially back then, I mean, obviously Roswell had happened in 47, but it was, you know, probably still kind of written off as like a crashed balloon or whatever. And so to see that over the White House, it would have been pretty scary for the president and everyone in the area, too.
Exactly. And plus, what kind of aircraft did we have back then?
Oh man, I couldn't even begin to answer that.
we had jets around that basic, right?
I think we had gotten away from propellers at that point, but not much further.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. We just got it. I mean, I think in the late 40s, because the Germans had jets, right? Jet planes. I'm pretty sure about it.
I'll take your word for it. Honestly, I have no idea.
Well, and just bringing this till today with whistleblower David Grush, there's a good quote about why he's, you know, so against all this secrecy and why he's coming out and telling the people about this. So he goes, "One of the most scandalous facets of withholding the technology is that we could have been generating clean energy for decades, but continue to deliberately pollute the earth with oil. Climate change tech is being withheld. This technology has the potential to have a hugely positive impact on the ecosystem. The Department of Energy, which is also part of the Secret Services," did you know that? It's part of the Secret
I did not know that. That's
me neither. Yeah. "Has some explaining to do because this is a crime against humanity and the earth. We use the tech for war and not for peace and nature. The people who withhold this will one day have to apply for amnesty somewhere for crimes against humanity."
One can only hope.
I know. But I mean, right?
It's one of those things where certain people were getting rich off of the oil industry, and they would have not gotten as rich if they had used this technology. So I mean, it all tracks.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, let's just try to milk this as much as we can, the oil. And it's been 100 years, so 80 years, you know, of them, and now all of a sudden they're divesting from oil and gas and want to do solar panels and wind and forcing us all into it, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know,
even though the technology is not really there yet.
No, it's not, and it will cause genocide. Many experts say that if you get away from oil and gas without a sufficient energy source like that, right, like nuclear or something, mm-hmm. people are going to die. They're just going to die. They won't be able to warm their houses. You know, there'll be brownouts, blackouts, whatever. And it's just, and they know that.
I'm definitely someone who wants to get away from oil, but we can't do it unless the technology's there, and it's not
exactly. It's so not hidden. Yet. It's so hidden. Even I don't know if I told you about the electric sun project they did. It was an experiment.
I don't think so.
It's called a Sapphire Project. Now, it did amazing things, right? But of course, they had to have people from like the national security state with them and sign off stuff, and they kept it all secret. But then some of the results, they released it, and it's phenomenal, you know. But I mean, I get the paranoia, I guess, you know, They're worried about terrorists or something, you know.
That's always the excuse.
Nukes are out. Are we telling people how to build nukes? We have nuclear power. I mean, are we telling people this is how you make it? No. I think Grush makes that argument, or someone makes that argument. This, I don't know if I'm going to play it, but we should share it. It's on Joel Mergia's Spaces. He's pretty big on UFO Twitter. He had, you know, Spaces is the voice. It's like a group voice chat. So he had a guy come on that also worked for the NSA. Where is it? This guy worked 20 years for the intelligence community, worked at NSA, NRO, NGIA, same places that Grush worked. And he came in support for him. And this is after the smear campaign about his PTSD and his drinking and stuff like that about Grush.
That was the lamest smear campaign.
It didn't even work. Zero. It didn't work at all. It completely backfired.
But I mean, like, I'm not going to throw out a number. There's a ton of people who have been in the military that have PTSD and drinking problems that are
it's sane
and normal people.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and they're medicating. They're self-medicating. Alcohol is legal. It's easy to get. You know, there's no really stigma around it. So, you know, it's not a surprise that that's how this guest says, at least he tried to get help. At least he tried to, you know, and that's why they didn't take away security clearance. And that's what really matters. The security clearance was still there.
And that's big too. Mental health still kind of has a stigma around it even today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, less so than it did 5-10 years ago, but yeah,
for sure. Look at the trans agenda. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh boy. We're working really hard to get this podcast canceled.
I know.
No, but I'm just saying, like, to come out and say, hey, I need help. It's a big deal, you know?
It is. And then to take steps and then improve your life. And that's what they wanted to see. So this guy basically is saying that's what the DOD wanted to see. They invest a lot of money in getting these guys cleared and to have clearance. And they spent a lot of money training them. So, you know, they want to see them get help. So, yeah, it was a complete nothing burger, that thing. But it's great to see some support for Grush, right?
Right. Well, and it, you know, it proves his case. I mean, I think maybe we talked about this on the last episode, but the fact you were, and you've told me privately,
yeah,
you know, as soon as there's a hit piece on someone like that, then you know they're telling the truth.
Yeah. Why do the hit piece? Why? I mean, there are arguments that it's like, oh, you guys are falling for it now. They're just trying to make you believe him more. I mean, there's always going to be that. Always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, don't fall for it. Now, we're going to cover this a little bit. This is the Maui. You shared this with me. The Maui.
The fires. That
the fires. Were going on. I was late to the game. I saw it happening, and I
did you see some of the pictures? Like, there's one that's kind of stuck in my head right now where everything is burnt to a crisp, and there's one house.
That
just is completely fine. It's bizarre.
Well, yes, there's that one. Oh, I don't have that one queued up. I thought I did. Yes, it's just by itself. The excuse is that he sprayed his entire house with water before evacuating. That's the excuse.
I thought it was something like that. Or like the roof and walls were built with different materials. Or it was something like that.
Yeah, yeah, like cement or something, or rock instead of wood. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Although we can't really verify that. But it's one house? One?
And the whole area around. It's not like the buildings, the houses to the left or the right only got burned. It's the whole area around it. It's just a bizarre,
so weird,
bizarre just, thing.
They didn't give them water. They didn't give the firefighters water. They didn't. There's a bunch of weird stuff that they did to make it as bad as possible.
Yeah, but they all got $700. That'll help.
Oh man, it's like a joke. It's like socialism, but like you know, a joke socialism.
Yeah.
All right. So this guy, I think, breaks it down. Yeah, you sent this to me. It's a good video. I don't know this creator, but yeah, let's take a listen.
Take a real close listen to what the governor of Hawaii had to say about the fires.
Of the destruction of Lahaina, it does appear like a bomb and fire went off. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off. All of those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. It will be a new Lahaina. in its own image, its own values. But it's going to be billions of dollars. We are so coordinated with state, county, and federal support that it took less than a quarter of a day, 6 hours, to get the approval from the president to bring those resources in. This was, of course, a shock to see a hurricane and its winds. I think that we're seeing this for the first time in many different parts of the world. I've been contacted by several governors across the country to share their experiences in a time where global warming is combined with strengthening.
So let's just go over a few of the red flags that he said. Very coordinated. Bomb and fire went off. All we will need to rebuild is billions of dollars in its own likeness and own image with its own values. What does that even mean? And it's so coordinated with state, county, and federal support that within less than 6 hours, they got approval from the president to bring resources. Hurricane type winds that just happened to be the same time as the bomb like fire. Governors calling to share their experience. So we start the press conference out with bombs and explosions, then set up how we're going to get some smart cities in Hawaii, and then we end it with 2030 propaganda of global warming. Right.
So true. What I don't get here, he says that they got approval from the president, right? But then there's a story that the government is not giving anything. Now, is that alluding to the $700? Is that what they're talking about?
Dude, I have no idea. I've heard so much conflicting information about the Hawaii fires that I'm like completely lost, which I think is the point.
It is the point. And then there's these individual, I don't know, I don't want to play these because there's a lot to get to, but there's a lot of witnesses that came forward, you know, saying that this was just weird. What is she talking about? But did you hear that most of the dead are children because there was no school that day because there's no power, right?
Yeah,
but the parents had to go to work.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if this is a truly, you know, disaster that couldn't have been avoided, like an actual real forest fire, then I feel bad for questioning it. But then I keep going back and forth in my head, like, if this was a man-created disaster on purpose to mess with these people, then I'm pissed, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on
yeah,
the
yeah, I know what you mean.
I keep too. Going back and forth.
Well, here, I want you to see this.
Oh, you sent me this one, and I
yeah.
made a joke.
It's about like, what? I mean, I didn't know mansions were right next to everything, but here it goes. Watch.
Yep.
Now, listeners, it's just music, but it's a helicopter or a drone, and it's panning the shore of.
Oh wait, I'm looking at your Twitter feed. I'm looking at the lady with the crazy eyes.
Oh wait, sorry.
There that's we
good.
Go.
Good, I said that.
I thought that's because that lady.
We can go back to her, but it's a 6 minute clip, and I don't know where. I mean, we can go back to her, but I want because you said something like, you know, if they mess with people, and I want you to see this clip.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so just for listeners, I think it's just only music, but it's just 36 seconds. It's a helicopter or drone panning the shores, and it's going by the mansions, and then you'll see the fire aftermath. I mean, or we can talk over it, but see, yeah, there's mansions showing the huge, yeah. huge houses.
So that's actually one of the theories that I've heard is that everything was burnt down so BlackRock could create more room for mansions. Which
wouldn't surprise me, dude. Wouldn't surprise me either.
There
you go.
Oh,
see,
man,
immediately.
Yeah, it's like right. Wow.
Oh,
now that is interesting footage. Yeah, it literally goes. It's showing coastline of the mansions, and then immediately it's the mansions stop, and there's all these burnt down houses. Wow.
That yeah, is crazy. Is that it like a body really of water? It's like there's a body of water or something.
Yeah, somewhere. I was going to say there's a river right there.
I mean, that could be it, too. You can't really dismiss that.
A canal, maybe. It's a canal.
But still, it's immediate.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... I mean, black and white's not the right term, but you get what I'm saying.
We're laser-focused on getting aid to survivors, including critical needs... assistance at one time.
Hey, your house and all your possessions just burnt down. Here's $700.
One time payment.
Unbelievable. But hey, let's continue to send billions to Ukraine.
And a lot of people, yeah, Oh yeah, on like don't even like the House and Senate passes it in seconds. Not even anymore. I think Biden can just see it go. He's $40 billion. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I think a billion would have been enough for those houses, like each to rebuild it for each one of each person.
Right.
Oh, it's so annoying.
And I, you know, like, and I understand. I mean, we are sending Ukraine money, but the dollar amount comes from the equipment we're sending them, and I get that.
We're buying it. Yeah, we're buying the equipment.
But
right.
You know, why can't we spend money on our own citizens?
Because socialism. Socialism for the corporations is fine, but
yeah, right. So socialism for the rich. I'll never forget the 2008 financial crisis that happened right when Bush was leaving office, and all those CEOs were like, they kept getting caught going to like parties down in Mexico and stuff. Do you remember that?
Yo, yeah, and bonus, and he's giving himself bonuses.
Yeah, they're giving themselves bonuses. This country is built on horse shit, unfortunately.
It is. It's so corrupt.
Yeah. And,
you know, people are comparing it to the Paradise fires. Remember that in 2017, California?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They always said those were directed energy weapons. So that's one of the theories. That's what's going on here.
Yeah, that's always been interesting to me because Hawaii had remember those green lights we looked at? Right over Hawaii.
They said it was Chinese, Chinese satellites.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's kind of what I keep going back to is why I don't think it's a natural disaster. I think there's something happening. Seems to be a lot of proof.
Now, if it turns out it's going to be like a World Economic Forum 15-minute city, you know, if it turns out to be that, then we know it's, you know, fake.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So we could play this. October 8th, 2017. Why is it in Chinese? So that was a crazy fire.
I think that's Korean. I have no idea.
Oh, it could be. It could be. And people are talking that the glass of the cars were melted, like rims were melted, and like they're saying like forest fires don't go more than 1,000, something like that. So here, see, nothing's touched. It's just the building. Oh, it's an InfoWars.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, absolutely crazy footage. Yeah,
yeah. He talks about that. The alloys will melt at 1,200 and 2,000 degrees, and then these cars are just complete. That was like, look at this. It is strange. It's just strange.
Yeah, it's super weird. I mean, so what we're looking at is a video of the burnt houses and stuff, but like across the street, the houses are completely untouched. It's weird. It's like the fire burnt like in a pattern.
Actually, let's listen. I know it's InfoWars, but this guy's good. He works for InfoWars, but he does good videos. Right.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
At around 9:45 p.m. on Sunday, October 8th of 2017, the Tubbs Fire began in Northern California. And by the time the sun came up, over 1,000 homes were destroyed. Videos and photographs show how this so-called forest fire seemed to spare the wild and somehow jump from house to house. CNN reported that the so-called forest fire jumped to the freeway. Hundreds of photographs show cars with melted trails of aluminum alloys from what must have been an unprecedented amount of power. The average forest fire burns at 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit. Aluminum alloys will melt at temperatures between 1,200 and 2,000 degrees, but many of these cars were nowhere near a forest fire. Some cars were flipped over. The heat must have been intense. Not only was it able to melt aluminum alloy, but consistently, every home that caught fire was leveled to white, powdery ash in less than 12 hours. By October 31st, the Tubbs fire had destroyed 5,643 buildings. PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric. PG&E was found responsible for 16 of the fires, over $10 billion in damages. All of this while producing $1 billion a year in profits for the Rothschild Investment Group. PG&E warned the public that the fires will not just continue, but will grow larger every season, They warn their investors that future liability will force PG&E into bankruptcy. In June, utility officials told state lawmakers that they needed protection to survive the coming fire season.
And I'm sounds like the big pharma. All right, there's some weird noise coming from the background that right here, so I'm going to stop it now. But
yeah, I was wondering, this video is split in two. I was trying to figure out if that was a glitch on my end or that's what the video is.
Yeah, I know. I remember now. It gets louder and louder. So it's videos of the fire when it was happening.
You know, I've never actually looked into this. This is super interesting.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. I didn't know it was that many homes. Is it over 5,000 homes? And PG&E wanted to get protection, like immunity. Sounds like you're big pharma, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds exactly like that. Oh, hey, we've talked about this in text. You excited to have to wear a mask again anytime you go outside?
My God, it was driving me crazy the other day. I'm like, I can't believe people are talking about this. Like CNN were saying it and other outlets were like, you know, you might have to dust off that N95. I'm like, no, no, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it.
I mean, that's the problem is I have to keep my job, but I think it's so stupid.
Are they bringing it up at work too?
We haven't talked about it yet, but I do keep seeing articles about it. Like I saw Alex Jones came out and everyone was like, he came out and said masks are coming back. And everyone was like, oh, okay, it's Alex Jones. Like who cares? Right. And then the next day, you know, TSA announced that they're going to bring masks back. And it's just like, this didn't do anything last time. Why are we still doing this?
There's a great video out there that shows how small this COVID-19 virus is compared to like a human hair. Mm-hmm. It is infinitesimally smaller than a human hair. It really is. When they had those images of like a chain linked fence and like the virus going right through it.
Yeah.
They're right. It is like that. It's so stupid. And I'm really hoping people don't.
Well, I mean, and you know, they've lied about everything, you know, especially about the vaccines. Hey, this will prevent transmission. This will prevent you from getting sick and prevent you from giving it to anybody else. And it was all lies.
All lies. Yeah. And now they're saying we never mandated you. We never said it was.
That's what pisses me off the most. Or that and the it's 100% effective. Oh, 100%. it's 84% effective. Oh, it's 60% effective. Oh, it's not effective at all.
Yeah, it wears off in 3 months.
Yeah. So
you gotta take boosters for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Anyway, that was kind of a side note.
And I do want to rant about it because if they really are thinking about this, and you know, I don't really post on social media like my personal ones that much. And then, but when this started, I started putting stuff up again. but I mean, you know, they're blaming climate change for everything, especially with fires going on. So
sorry, really, really quick. Yeah. Another side note: anytime a teenage athlete dies, they always blame it on climate change.
Oh,
as if there's nothing that happened in the last few years that they mandated.
It's not the vaccines.
People. Yeah, no, yeah.
It's not the thing that gives them myocarditis.
Yeah,
as it's teenagers.
It's climate change.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's psycho climate change.
Yeah.
So these guys, it's a declaration, a world climate declaration. It's a lot of scientists. Why don't we go to the info? Because I completely forgot why it's important. Founded in 2019. Anyway, these guys are saying there's no climate emergency. Here it is. A global network of 1,609 scientists and professionals has prepared this urgent message. Climate science should be less political, while climate policies should be more scientific. Scientists should openly address uncertainties and exaggerations in their predictions of global warming, while politicians should dispassionately count the real costs as well as the imagined benefits of their policy measures. So just headlines. Natural as well as anthropogenic factors cause warming. Warming is far slower than predicted, which is true. The models are not predicting anything. Climate policy relies on inadequate models, right? Climate models have many shortcomings and are not remotely plausible as global policy tools. They blow up the effect of greenhouse gases such as CO2. In addition, they ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial, right? Mm-hmm. CO2 plant food, the basis of all life on Earth. And they want to, you know, they want to, they have machine, like, what's his name, Gates? He has, he wants to take carbon out of the atmosphere and pump it into the Earth.
we kind of touched on that. I think it was last episode. The greenhouses that were like pumping extra CO2.
Yeah, into, you pay
into
them.
The greenhouse to make the plants grow more.
Right, right. Does that make any sense that these investors would put money into corporations to do that, but then divest from doing that to the Earth? I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that, you know, they complain about ocean levels rising, and yet they're on yachts, they're taking private planes, and they're buying houses on the beach.
on the beach, exactly. And speaking of, global warming has not increased natural disasters. So these guys are saying there's no statistical evidence that global warming is intensifying hurricanes, floods, droughts, and such like natural disasters, or making them more frequent. However, there is ample evidence that CO2 mitigation measures are as damaging as they are costly. Oh, yeah. So like the fires in Maui and California, they blame environmentalists that don't want humans to manage the environment. Basically, that if there's dry brush, to go out and proactively burn it, you know, instead of waiting for nature to do it, right, in a controlled way. Environmentalists don't want humans doing that, and that's making it worse when these fires actually happen.
Again, this is not, you know, an excuse for everyone to go throw their garbage out into the ocean stuff like that. I mean, we are damaging the planet. It's just not, you know, it's not this.
Right, I agree. But yeah, we have to still take care of our planet. And, you know, even and Ron Paul is talking about this, about being libertarian and having these, or at least libertarian ideals, is that contractual law and property rights actually protect the environment. Because if someone is, say, throwing trash near your property, they're also ruining your property and polluting your property. So you can sue, you know, and use those types of that ideology instead of having this whole thing of a climate change agenda and imposing it on the entire planet.
Right.
We all want a clean environment, right?
And that's kind of the problem I see is maybe I'm being ignorant here. It's not like America is dumping trash in the, I mean, we are dumping trash in the ocean, but like you look at India and China, the amount of pollution and trash that they dump is absurd, and there's nothing we can really do about it.
And it's not like they listen. It's not like they signed on to these climate things, and they're building coal power plants like almost every day. I think China's doing it. Seriously, yeah, almost every day, cool. But not us, you know. It just doesn't make sense why it only applies to them. It's like they want them, whoever's running the planet, wants China and India to catch up to the United States and the West by just penalizing us for being so ahead.
Right.
It's because they hate the Western ideology of freedom and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's obvious. It's so obvious. So this guy, I know him. I remember him from the past. His name is Norio Hayakawa. He's been a ufologist for a really long time, for 30 years. So we don't have to spend too much time on this, but he just came out and says, he goes, my view, his final thoughts, he's calling it, my final thoughts on the UFO phenomenon. Okay. He goes, my view is that the phenomenon has the ability to materialize and dematerialize at will, even though for a short duration of time, each time. It also appears to be able to assume any shape or form imaginable and interact with our physical parameters, such as radar. Sometimes it also appears to be able to pre-select its observer or a group of observers, as well as the location of its appearance. So
it certainly seems that way.
Yeah. So he goes, my belief is that we are not dealing with physical extraterrestrial biological entities in their physical extraterrestrial spacecraft. I believe that there are paraphysical extra-dimensional entities, some of which may be deceptive and malevolent by nature, that have been and still are intruding into our physical dimension for reasons we still do not know for sure.
Wow. I have never heard of this guy, and he summed up my thoughts on the UAP phenomenon like absolutely perfectly.
Oh, well, so maybe you should watch this. It's only 30 minutes. It's called The Conspiratologist in 4K. They made a documentary about him.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if you sent it to me already.
No, I did not. I did not send it through. I looked it up while setting up the episode because I was like, you know, many people are going to ask, who is this guy? So I think this is a great intro. We can play like 1 minute of this intro, or maybe not.
No, let's let's not. Let's move on. We'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, that really sums up exactly what I think about the phenomenon.
And it happens to a lot of people who really look into it, right? Is that
they always go woo woo. I mean, look at Jacques Vallée.
Yeah, Jacques Vallée. Bigelow. It's all about consciousness now.
Yeah.
That's right. He did a part two interview on YouTube, which is a good one too about consciousness. It's really cool. All right, so UAPmax.com. He's good. We share stuff all the time. He is asking representatives. He's gotten word that something's going on. All right, so he's asking Representative Burchett, Paulina. I think Lena, and then Matt Gaetz. He's asking them about this. He goes, many governments are being formally read in on certain aspects of NHI, being told that hard proof aspects of disclosure and powers within each nation are being given information on how long, some specifics about civilizations, and that they should prepare for possible upheaval within their respective societies due to the hard disclosure event about to occur. This was shared. Yeah, I know, right? Like, come on, August 14th. All right, so almost 10 days ago. 9 days ago.
That's exciting stuff.
I know, right? And he's been right on some stuff because we'll see later. Because remember that stuff about the leaks about it only makes crafts are 200 years ahead of us only, so we don't. Mm-hmm. You know, so that comes from him. The Chinese laser one comes from him, where they that was 4chan, but he covers it too.
I mean, it all matches up, so might as well be the same leaks.
Right, yeah. The Hill did it didn't happen on the 7th. This is but they did a, what's it called? A round table of people. So they invited senators, congressmen, and did a whole show about UAPs and UFOs. Here we go. So Burchett, Greg Egigian, Ryan Graves, Luna Moskowitz, he was there also. So yeah, I mean, it's about more than an hour, I think. How long is it?
It's pretty cool that this stuff is becoming so mainstream that even, you know, because UFO articles, you know, they'd only be reported on by, like, you know, news sites you've never heard of.
Fringe.
Yeah, now like CNN, Fox News, I mean, The Hill probably doesn't deserve to be mentioned with those big.
But it's mainstream, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely mainstream. I mean, it's just cool that like people seem to actually like care about it now.
They do, and that's why so many people are covering it, because it's such a buzz. What's his name? Beck even did a show about it. Of course, he's saying it's a psyop, you know.
I hope it's not like, I think it was 2017 when the Tic Tac video came out, and I was like, oh, here comes disclosure. The government's going to start talking about UFOs. And then it didn't happen. And then here we are again, five years later.
Right. And that was under Trump. Later. It was under Trump. And it was at least a serious effort by the Pentagon too. And then when he left, it became the usual shit show of deep state, which is what we're seeing now with Arrow.
God, can you imagine Biden meeting an alien for the first time?
Oh man,
how much of a shit show that would be. They would be like, nah, forget it, we're out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Who's this dude? This is fake for sure. I sent it to you, but oh, yeah. it was in some big publication in South America. But look at that.
I mean, it's the same. It's not the exact same. It's a thin, what are those called? Diamond shape.
Diamond shape. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think this is real.
No, it's not.
It's a bunch of pictures of a diamond shaped UFO, and it's in different, for like facing different directions.
It's definitely AI.
You think it's AI? I think it's just Photoshop.
Oh, you think that easy, huh?
Yeah.
Where
is I've seen some pretty like that one in particular.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a diamond shaped UFO that's just, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, we're just looking at photos.
Yeah, and the reason why it was shared, I mean, this was, what date was this? It was recent. August. Anyway, it was shared because Tom DeLonge said something about these mountains in the background in South America that he's in his bases there. And that's why. He usually, whenever he starts tweeting, everyone starts, like, these weird stuff shows up. It's Greenwald. So I've been on the fence with him for a long time. I kind of still am, but I mean, why does he say stuff like this? You know, people are saying now he really is a gatekeeper. He says the disclosure of UFO secrets in the US government could lead to total anarchy. A campaigner is warned. John Greenwald has published over 3 million previously classified government documents on his Black Vault website. So he's adding to the excuse that the government says that if this information is released, there'll be total anarchy and chaos in the world. So that's why we can't.
What do you think would, like, if the government released what they knew about UFOs and stuff, what do you think they would have to release to create total anarchy?
I mean, wasn't COVID enough anarchy? I mean, and BLM, and I don't know. Like, it was hell in 2020, wasn't it? Is it going to be worse than that?
But it wasn't anarchy. I mean, it kind of was.
I mean, yeah, because they destroyed so many cities, right? It was millions of dollars, hundreds or tens of millions of dollars of destruction and
more than
and
that. Theft. I think it was in billions.
Yeah, I mean, and they went city to city. So how much worse can it be? I mean, seriously, and for how long?
What would the news have to be to create that kind of reaction? Well, I mean, seriously, what would the government have to say for you to go out on the street and start throwing Molotov cocktails into windows?
I mean, well, I wouldn't do it for too long. Okay, just say, just say that they do say that, right? Then it questions religion, God, all that stuff, right? So there'll be moral decay. Like, there isn't already moral decay in this country.
But just man,
that's the excuse. Moral decay. Like, oh, screw it, you know. If there's no such thing as that, then I can do whatever the hell I want. And okay, for how long do you do that for?
But there's still like laws. Like, if you know, I knew 100% that God wasn't real, I wouldn't start going out and, you know, like murdering people. I'd just be like, oh shit, that sucks. I still have to go to work the next day.
yeah.
Like,
but, okay, what about married people then saying, oh, I can go out and do this and do that? Who gives a shit, you know?
Did you say married people?
Yeah,
I mean, then it wasn't a strong marriage to begin with. I mean, I'm serious. Like,
no, I know, but I'm talking out like I'm just talking because there are some people even if their marriage is not good, they're like,
You think if the U.S. government came out and said God isn't real, it's all aliens, you think people would be splitting up their marriages? They start kicking their kids down the stairs.
Who knows, man? People are weird, you know. I mean, it's hard to put, I mean, you know, as being a human, you can empathize, right? That's one of the things of being human. But sometimes people are really irrational, or they just use an excuse to do crazy stuff. It might not really be the reason, but they use it as an excuse. Like, well, you know, who cares? Our government's been lying to us. And I mean, I don't know. I just,
and no, I think you're right.
But how long is it going to last? They'll get it out of their system. Okay, I'll give you an example. Oh, great. I've cops.
I can hear them.
They're after me. but I'll give you an example. In the country of Qatar, it was a dry country, right? Mm-hmm. And they always go back and forth. But when they first made it legal to drink alcohol in Qatar, the locals apparently were coming to work like hungover and puking for like the first month. And then that's it. It was out of their system. You know what I mean? So I feel like it might be the same thing. Yes, it might be chaos, but it's not going to be chaos forever. Like, people will just get used to it. It'll be gone. It'll be like, oh, all right, you know, time to move on. Nothing really changed. My life didn't change.
Right, but that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, what's the government excuse for, hey, we can't tell anyone about this because it'll be chaos, is not a good excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's not a good excuse. But it's used as an excuse.
Yeah.
Richard Doling did a great presentation on basically saying, like, look, this has happened before, but they failed, right? And really high, like, this one about Donald Kehoe. And then here, which this clip we're going to listen to, is Admiral Roscoe Hillencotter. Yeah, the former director of the CIA. He joined Kehoe in NICAP. NICAP was a private organization to lobby the government to release the secret. And this is in this 1960. So here, let's listen to
Richard quickly. Awesome.
But in any case, Hillencotter ran the CIA for 3 years. And as I said, he was a board member of NICAP. And here he is in 1960, in the midst of all of this, and he's quoted in the New York Times, where he says, it is time for the truth to be brought out behind the scenes. High-ranking Air Force officers are soberly concerned about the UFOs. This flew in the face of everything coming out of the establishment at this time. He goes on, he says, but through official secrecy and ridicule, many citizens are led to believe the unknown flying objects are nonsense. I urge immediate congressional action to reduce the dangers from secrecy about unidentified flying objects. That's a wow statement right there. Can you imagine if the congressional hearings that we just had a former director?
All right, yeah. So
that is
former CIA.
That is pretty crazy. I mean, this is the 1960s. So someone coming out and saying something like that, that's a huge, huge statement.
Yeah, and people saying, like, how come this stuff hasn't come out before? It's how can they keep it secret? No one has kept it secret. It's been leaked since day one. You know, it really is nuts. When I like that excuse just drives me up the wall. So basically what Richard's saying here is that there was such a campaign against Kehoe and Hillencotter, is how you say his name?
Hillencotter, I think.
Hillencotter, yes. That there was a smear campaign. The Robertson panel happened then. With the other panel that came out that started ridiculing it. So he talks about that. And then here, there was a CBS UFO report. So they were relentless, and that's why they failed. You know, and this is the 60s, so it's very different now. Here, let's see. I think the CBS reports here.
NICAP did not mention artifacts ever back in those days. In fact, nobody did. The whole concept of crash retrievals didn't really start making headway until the very late 70s. Mm. So that's that. Now, back to the Robertson panel and their one last influence that they had on this whole matter in the 1960s was this TV special from 1966. This was on CBS. That's Walter Cronkite pictured there, by far the most famous and respected newsman in the country back in those days. And he hosted a special in 1966 when all of this discussion was out there. UFOs, friend, foe, or fantasy? And of course, the answer is in that very final word. That's what they conclude. In fact, they brought Carl Sagan in. He uses phrases like pseudoscience to discuss UFOs. And here's Cronkite. He says,
why was Carl Sagan so against UFOs?
I don't know. I just think
a guy like him would be totally into UFOs.
I bet you he was read in. he was part of the cover-up, and that's why. Because didn't he write that book, Contact, before his death?
I mean, I'm not... I just remember watching him when I was in middle school. Watch anything about space, because he was in every space documentary ever.
Yeah, and he wrote that book before his death. So, you know, he kind of changed his...
I'm forgetting their names. The man and woman who supposedly saw a UFO, it was in Vermont. Yes, Benny and Barney Hill.
Yeah.
And she brought back like a star map, and he was going like, no, this is nothing.
Right. And then it came out to be Zeti Reticulan.
It lined up perfectly.
Yeah. Yes. So I think he was read in. You know, that's why they brought him in. And then, you know, of course, they have the intelligence community has Cronkite, the most respected man in America. If he says it, people are going to believe him. Yeah. So, you know, here, Richard's reading his quote here.
Said anything out there has come here. One thing is clear. You could not keep a spaceship a secret. That's a direct quote from Walter Cronkite. And then he just said, and by the way, you know, if anything important were to happen, probably best to just let scientists and the military take care of it. You people don't really need to do anything about this.
Go to sleep, Americans. Our
military has done nothing wrong. CIA, always the good guys.
Always the good guys. Yes, exactly. Yeah, little children, we will take care of you. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Just keep buying. Keep watching. Mm-hmm. You know, so
right, what's this next article you got?
So UAPmax.com, you know, it is a great online magazine. UFO reverse engineered lasers, Chinese confirmed, are exclusive from an inside source.
Yikes.
I know, right? My source has confirmed these breakthroughs occurred after this company was able to initiate a cold laser reaction from wobbling a previously unknown element that has not been disclosed, but only discovered after analyzing and reverse engineering the same laser that was shown to him by the Brits. Oh, he's talking about Biden. Biden only learned of this laser after that date and inquired about whether the U.S. had the same. He found out that, in fact, we did, and it has been studied for almost two decades. And the example they had in possession was functional and successfully decoded only after they figured out what was making the laser so powerful while remaining cold. Once that element was unfused, only then did they figure it out. That alone took a decade of work. A decade. So for them to reverse engineering this alien tech took a decade. And apparently this element keeps the laser cold, which means it can run for a very long time. Not only that, it can mine stuff without going in and breaking the rocks up. You know what I mean? It can extract elements from a like rock. It just gets deposited.
That is so scary.
Yeah, he goes, prepare to have your mind blown.
Do you think it's the same element that Bob Lazar was talking about?
He talks about 115, right? Element 115. Everyone keeps making fun of that. Well, these alien scientists makes fun of that. I mean, the 115. But I mean, I don't know. They're not saying what it is, but the Chinese have it, and apparently we have it, so it's not. So here are the steps.
That's good. Two countries that I want most to have a cold laser.
Yeah, the cold laser that can be on for a very long time. Reverse engineer laser tech, China. Oh, Business Insider. So obviously Business Insider does not say this. Here it is, an official. I mean, I guess Business Insider is mainstream, but China's military claims to have found a way to build a laser weapon that can fire indefinitely. So there it is. He's not making it up. It's out there. August
14th, 2023. Awesome.
I know, right? Chinese scientists claim that they have found a way to build a laser weapon that can be fired indefinitely, which would dramatically increase its effectiveness over other laser weapons. I just love, like, you know, this news comes out. And it was because it was reverse engineered, you know, and no one talks about that when it's strong enough to melt steel, they're saying. So a lot of everything we see, a lot of what we see around us is because of these crashed craft, I guess we'll call them. And then comes back to this, like, is it on purpose that they want us to go this way, that they want us to become technologically advanced, to be more welcoming to them?
Most frustrating part is having to guess at what their intentions might be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they definitely have intentions. And since they're so much more advanced than us, I'm not saying they don't make mistakes, but there's an agenda, a multi-generational agenda that's been going on. And there's a reason for it. You know, mm-hmm. they could have intervened a long time ago, but they haven't yet. At least not overtly. This was weird. I sent you to see Kirby, how he won't confirm or deny when he was asked again. Yeah. So this I don't remember. Clip. Is Kirby, is he from the Trump administration or no? Is he new?
I think he's from the Trump administration. I can't say for certain, though.
All right.
David Grush, who sat on a U.S. Air Force panel on UAPs, he says that he was informed of a UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program based on interviewing 40 witnesses over 4 years. Does such a program exist, and do you believe that the American people deserve to know if it does?
I have no information on that to provide for you today, one way or the other. I would just say what I said last week when I got asked about this. We obviously take the issue of unidentified aerial phenomenon seriously. There's a whole office at the Pentagon that has stood up to analyze the data, collect reports, collate those reports, and forward them up appropriately. And that's, I think, testament to the fact that that we know that in some cases, these phenomena have impacted military training, have then impacted military readiness.
But this hearing today does seem to have brought this issue to kind of a new level of public consciousness. And so I wonder if the president believes that these claims warrant further investigation. Do you guys see some of these claims and allegations as credible?
If the president didn't believe that the sightings by pilots were serious enough to be considered, he wouldn't have wanted the Pentagon to stand up an office to look at this, to analyze the data, to collect reports, to provide a system by which we can collate the information and better figure out what we've got here. But that work's ongoing. So if your question is, do we think we need to be transparent with the American people? Of course we need to be as transparent as we can be. But the truth is, Jeremy, we don't have hard and fast answers on these things. We are trying to get smarter on it.
He didn't answer the question at all. Well, he did in his own way, but he didn't confirm or deny. The question was about the crash retrieval programs. Are there any? And then he goes into Aero.
Well, he sounds like a politician.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do. Yeah. Never confirm or deny.
Yeah, I'm playing. But he could have just flat out denied, and he didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And Biden, why wouldn't Biden, someone like Biden, just come out and, you know, seeing the interest in this? Well, he's as deep state as they come.
The guy's in diapers and he can barely stand up.
Poor guy. I feel so bad for him. The thing is, he's such a tyrant. You know, he's not running the country. He's got a bunch of tyrants around him.
Yeah.
Running the country.
Man, yeah. He can barely even talk.
Sad. It really is sad. And it's like he's a great symbol of this empire. Right?
Hopefully. Well, I hope the symbol he's being is that the empire is dying.
Yeah, well, that's what it looks like, right? Old and decrepit.
Yep.
I sent this to you. It's not new, although they updated it August 10th, but it's a scientific study. UAP pattern recognition study, 1945 to 1975, U.S. military atomic warfare complex. So they're basically looking for, are there more UFOs on bases with atomic weapons? And they found out, of course, yes, there are. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about this. It's basically happened when we started creating atomic weapons. Their interest has always been in atomic weapons. It might be the Earth protecting itself. I don't know. You know, it might be real UFOs. You know how we have white blood cells and stuff? You know, maybe that's what the Earth does to make sure it doesn't get destroyed. I mean,
that's a super interesting way to look at it. Maybe that.
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it is a living system, and it's huge. We're just tiny dots on it, right? I mean,
yeah.
Maybe we can't perceive it, or yeah, who knows? Who knows? It's just weird. And not, no, I mean, it's not weird. They are a danger, not just to us, but this planet, you know? So it makes sense that something is interested in them. Maybe it's the energy that comes out of these bases that they're interested in.
Yeah, maybe.
But all I know is that we keep making crazy new technology. Did you see this one? Cutting edge.
Oh, you sent this to me like yesterday, I think.
Yeah, cutting edge levitation technologies aim to revolutionize bioprinting and space travel. So awesome. basically, they're levitating particles using sound and what else? But then they can bioprint basically when they're in, like they're not touching anything and they're not on a table. They're in air, so you can bioprint something in 3D. Very accurately.
That's so cool.
I know, isn't it?
They're truly living in the quote-unquote the future.
Yeah, we are. And you could print like a liver or something, or you know, a body part, and just have it put back in, because that's the body dies because it just can't regenerate anymore, right? The genetic wise, it just, there's too many errors, and that's why the body dies, really. So yeah, this is a great article on that. How levitation is changing bioprinting. Is this on the Debrief? That's a good website. They're the ones who released the.
I was just gonna say they broke the David Grush story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So now Klingon. Cool. Yeah, it is really cool. It is Star Trek technologies are indeed inching closer to reality. They have something on that.
It is crazy to me that like something as old as Star Trek was like on to something. You know what I mean? Like science fiction always seems to predict science fact.
Yeah, I guess if we're able to imagine something, then it's got to be able to be real, right? We're not going to imagine something that can't be possible. Right. I mean, it just makes sense. Like, look at this. So visualizing the mysterious dance, quantum entanglement of photons looks like what? Yin-yang.
Yin-yang. Wow, that is wild.
And that's from the ancient world, right? So that's quantum entanglement. Researchers at the University of Ottawa, in collaboration with Danilo Zia recently demonstrated a novel technique that allows the visualization of the wave function of two entangled photons, the elementary particles that constitute light in real time. So what they did, more precisely, where is it? How they actually did it. They did it.
There needs to be a too long didn't read at the very bottom of every article like this.
Well, they captured it by using, here it is. The projective measurement approach to quantum tomography can be thought of as looking at the shadows. This is all over everyone's head. Never mind. But anyway, they were able to capture the image of quantum entanglement. I thought I just read it that it was in. They did it with.
It's absolutely crazy though that it looks just like a yin yang.
I know, right?
Symbol.
Yeah.
Look at that. That is crazy.
And basically, quantum entanglement. Right. If you separate these two. If you change one spin on one and the other one changes instantly, even if they're separated by like, you know, a distance of a galaxy or something, it's still instantaneous. Quantum entanglement goes around the speed of light. And that's
quantum physics in general, like kind of freaks me out because it's so weird.
It is weird. It's what does Einstein call it? Fuzzy science or something. It even boggled his mind. And they're thinking of making the new internet with quantum.
Right. I think we talked about it on a really early episode, but I still remember when it had just happened. China was sending messages up to that satellite using quantum technology, and it was happening instantaneously. I mean,
exactly.
That kind of stuff really, it's crazy. We are living, you know, in the Jetsons. We're in the future.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have psychopaths ruling over us. So they use that technology to try to take over the world.
Yep.
So this guy, clandestine. Now, you know, it is Russian information, right? So I want to preface that. But they just came out, the Russian government came out and basically said, Russia just publicly accused deep state actors and big pharma of manufacturing the COVID pandemic to take over the world. They even listed Obama, Clinton, Biden, and Soros of being the main ideologists behind the plot. And then they actually go, there is, we'll link this up too. They have all the documents. They briefed the UN about it. So a briefing by Chief of Nuclear, Chemical, and Biological Protection Troops of the Armed Forces of the Russian Federation, Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov, on U.S. military biological activity. Now, why are they saying this? Because when they went after, when they went into Ukraine, they found biolabs, right, that we were running with Ukraine, because, you know, they don't have laws like we do. So we just funded them there. And they found all these biological weapons and programs. So he's saying here.
I definitely think this is propaganda, but I also think it's completely true. I mean,
yeah, it's both.
We've got proof that the U.S. funded, you know.
I mean, our Congress is having hearings about it, right?
Yeah.
Gain of function research.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it came out of Wuhan, which we have a huge, not base there, but facility there with the Chinese that we funded, and COVID pretty much came out of there. But the Russians are saying that the development of the pandemic under this scenario, as well as the implementation of EcoHealth Alliance, we know about that, raises questions about the possible intentional nature of COVID-19 and U.S. involvement in the incident. Anyway, I don't want to talk about too much about this because this will definitely get us canceled, especially the source. So we'll be careful of the source. You know, they're known for their propaganda. These are the Russians. But it doesn't mean that there's not some truth in here.
I don't want to get black bagged by the CIA.
More black bagged. Yeah.
Torn out of my house or apartment.
All right, moving on. I shared this with you because remember Spielberg was making fun of the whole disclosure thing?
Yes, we talked about that last week, I believe.
So all of a sudden there's a new show on Netflix called Alien docuseries called Encounters. So it lands at Netflix from Steven Spielberg's Amblin TV. And it's so funny to see this guy still use aliens, but then in private and public, I mean, in public interviews saying that is nothing to it. Makes no sense to me.
CIA plant.
He's got to be something like that. Yeah, that's just propaganda or something.
I've been meaning to watch Close Encounters again.
Oh, yeah. I'd watch that with you.
So good.
What did I ask you to watch the other day? Did you watch it? I forget now what it was.
I don't think I did. Sorry, I'm super flummy right now.
That's all right. I mean, last week we shared this database, the really long database, right? That's searchable too. That goes back to like what I think year 80 or something. Yeah. So I sent this to you. It's 1996.
Do you want me to read this?
Yeah.
All right. Date September 15th. 1996, a young backpacker, Ricardo Machado Oliveira, was exploring a remote mountain cave near Quebeca de Penha Mountain, in Portugal, and while in it, apparently passed out. When he came to, he found himself in a vast underground hangar surrounded by quote unquote three distinct species of aliens. Nearby were several silvery ovoid craft. Wow, I regret asking to read this. The aliens told Ricardo that they were part of an alliance of interstellar worlds engaged in observing Earth. Their base under the Serra de... Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah, just say whatever.
Guardanha Mountains was one of four such bases. Immediately after hearing this, Ricardo Sorry, I had to scratch my nose. Ricardo blacked out again. When he opened his eyes, he was lying on the ground right outside the cave. In the 14th century, at the same cave, a little girl from a nearby village vanished for 3 days. When she was finally found, she told the search party that she had been cared for by, quote-unquote, a lady in white, who had offered her water to drink from a bell. Some have attributed this to a visitation by the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Why? It's like a trickster, this thing, or just...
It really is.
And just because it was 1996, it had to be silvery ovoid craft. This in the 14th century had to be the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah. I mean, but that's kind of my theory on the whole thing is we're half the phenomena. So if you're in the 14th century, what you're going to see is the Virgin Mary. And if it's 1996, you're going to see a silver craft.
Yeah. And maybe we are a conduit for a lot of consciousness or beings to experience this, I don't know, dimension or this world, you know?
I think that's the case. I truly do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's Martians or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Zeta Reticulans. I think they tell us what we want to hear and they appear to us based on our own perceptions.
Oh, that leads us to this one. Remember, I shared this with you, CBN, which is the Christian Broadcast Network. They're saying it's demonic, right? But then,
of course they are. Because...
Because in a Christian worldview, anything that's not divinely, I mean, because humans are made in the image of God, right? And so anything else is going to be demons or fallen angels.
Right, exactly.
Because that's explicitly be in the Bible. I mean, because it's not, life on other planets, then it's, I think I have it queued up. But he does say some cool stuff, you know, I'm not going to discount it completely. It is a good interview. And this guy is smart. He's a doctor. He writes good books. I hope I have it queued up right here. I'm not sure.
Entire book was communicated through automatic writing. But what's interesting about the Arantia book, about a third of its content denies the deity of Jesus Christ.
Oh, you know what?
So there, I think you...
Okay, now I remember. He talks about the occult here. Wait a minute. Is it afterward? Pull up for precise seeking. Oh, it doesn't tell me chapters. It's a good interview all in all, but he does link it. He says they scientifically linked UFO sightings with the occult. And in countries that have a lot of occult activity, obviously the U.S. has a lot of occult activity. We're founded by Freemasons, right? Mm-hmm. Is it here?
Seems to be sort of pulling back from its Christian rooting. Even...
and Hawaii, and in those states in the union where there's a very low incidence of occult involvement, likewise you see a much lower incidence of people claiming to have these close encounters. But my passion is for the individual that's having these.
So he just said it. Okay.
Increase in alleged interactions with these, you know, purported beings.
Well, I think the evidence for that is that in states where there's a higher involvement in the occult, you see a higher incidence of these close encounters.
I just said that. But, I mean, he wrote a book on it. I believe that, too, you know. It just makes sense. I thought that before even because I remember who in Europe has – France has a lot of sightings. Yeah. Germany, obviously. And Switzerland. Switzerland has one of the highest per capita, I mean, of secret societies and occult activity, and they get a lot. They even had like a statue made, a huge statue of one of their.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
CERN
is there. CERN is.
So funny. I was just about to ask you. I was like, hey, isn't CERN there?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I wonder. I mean, it's got to be related. I don't know.
Yeah, it has to be related, and so there we go with the whole the other realm. You know, and trying to bring them into here.
There's something to that. I mean, who's the guy that created Scientology? I mean, he was obsessed with that.
Oh, yeah. L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Big time. And then he was close friends
with
Parsons.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Parsons. And he started JPL. Right. And they have and he said that he used the occult to, because his designs for jet engines and how, and he put the pentagram in there too. I mean, just fascinating. He's really, the story of Parsons is really amazing. And this, and then of course him being friends with L. Ron Hubbard, they lived together in L.A. right, in the same house.
L. Ron Hubbard banged his girlfriend, if I remember correctly.
Of course he did, the fucking Hubbard. but then I remember watching a documentary a long time ago, is that they were also involved in the first nuclear weapon. They, you know, with Oppenheimer, that they created a golem or something like that, and that's where.
I take it that didn't make it into the movie.
No, of course not. But that's where Twin Peaks comes from. The whole story of Twin Peaks starts from that first atomic weapon. Yeah, and then that's how these beings came into our world, was from that. So I'm linking them. So Twin Peaks does not say that, but
no, I understand. Yeah. I was just gonna say I've been meaning to get back at Twin Peaks. I tried watching it a few years ago.
I know it's hard.
It's just, it's so much like relationship drama, and I was like, I want to see the scary stuff. I don't care about any of this.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of the X-Files back in the day when they had when they had the whole government secrecy UFO stuff, but then they'll all of a sudden do like weird ones like werewolves and like what? Where are you going? Could you stay on topic here?
Seriously. I just want to see the cool alien government stuff.
Exactly.
I don't want to see the rest of this.
So same thing. But, you know, if you get to season 3, it's all weird. All of it.
I'll have to give another shot.
But if you get there, please tell me. I want to watch it with someone, because I just watched it alone, and I want to watch it with someone. It's
Was season 3 the one that like came out a couple years ago?
Yes. Yeah. That's
okay.
That's,
yeah, so you have to get through the first two old seasons, and then...
I know.
Okay.
Torture. But you know, like the end of season 1, that's all the weird stuff. I think the last 3 episodes. Same thing with season 2. So you have to just get through it.
And then season. Okay. All right. Well. Okay.
And then season 3 is yeah.
I've been looking for a new show to actually. You know what I've been watching that's pretty decent is The Rig. You might like it.
Okay. The Rig, is it like oil, like an oil rig?
Yes. Uh-huh. But like a bunch of weird stuff happens. It's not just about people, you know, drilling for oil. Like,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Where's that in? Well, they always find weird stuff because they're drilling.
It's on Amazon.
On Amazon? Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So this is Vivek on Vivek Ramaswamy. He's a
isn't he one of the Republican candidates?
Yeah, so he was on Tucker, and you know, I kind of don't trust him because his answers are too perfect. He reminds me of Obama. He's like the right wing Obama, you know what I mean? But he says something which depicts perfectly what we're going through with the UFO subject. Basically, right, how our government acts. So let's take a listen. It's very quick.
We as free human beings, badly, what makes us human beings and not animals is the belief that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves and that we can handle the truth from those who are in power. And I think that's the moment we live in today. It was the moment of the American Revolution, that we the people can be trusted. And I think we now live in a moment where the government, and not just the government, but a broader establishment in our country, believes that citizens of this nation cannot be trusted with the truth.
So when you describe the way that people who run the country feel about voters, you're describing the way parents treat small children.
That's right. That's right. I think that's actually worth understanding, because there's one school of thought that says the government and the people in charge are fundamentally hostile to the people. If only it were so easy, actually. I think the reality of what's going on is far more dangerous, where the people who are in charge have actually what they think of as a benevolent view of the people. That we're doing what's actually right for you, for me, for the populace at large. And then if you look at this throughout history, Tucker, for most of human history, that's how it's been done. For most of human history, before 1776 in the old world, the vision was the people cannot be trusted to sort out their own differences one person, one vote? That's such a laughable idea. It has to be church leaders and labor leaders and business leaders that decide in the back of palace halls what's right for the rest of society at large. And then we had this weird departure in 1776 that said, no. Actually, we the people can be trusted in a system where every person's voice and vote counts equally. With,
I know, right? Classic Tucker. Like, he's really listening to him. And he's like, I think he's shocked by this guy, how he speaks, right? And what he's saying. So yeah, it's just like 10 seconds left.
Free speech and open debate in the public square, whatever it is. Sometimes we might get it wrong. Sometimes we get it right. But whatever it is, that's the way we do things in this new thing we call the United States of America. But then every once in a while, and we're in one of those moments, that ugly monster rears its head again that says, no. The people can't be trusted. It has to be now in the back of palace halls, in the back of three-letter government agencies in Washington, D.C., or in the back of BlackRock's corner office on Park Avenue in Manhattan, wherever it is. It's that the enlightened have to make sure that the public is protected from the truth, just like a parent protects a child. And I think it's that parental instinct. It's not the kidnapper's instinct, right? It's not the guy who wants to, you know, kidnap and kill the child. No, it's actually almost what they think of as being the instinct of a parent who's doing for you what's better for you than you know for yourself. And I think that's what gives it actual staying power, because it's not what somebody thinks of as evil who's committing evil. They think of it as actually a moral obligation to the public, which explains the bipartisan nature of when somebody speaks the truth about what really happened on 9/11. No, hush.
All right, I stopped there. but yes. Right. That's what we're dealing with the whole UFO issue.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's gone beyond that issue, obviously. Right. But again, it's applied now across the board with almost everything. Like, let's not really tell them the truth. Let's try to sugarcoat it here. And I think that's the that's like the managerial class, doing like the Congress, the people like Grush and the intelligence community. But obviously the people on top don't think that. I don't think so. Like the ones who are really running like the UFO program, they're not benevolent. They're using it for profit and power, you know.
I was just gonna say, I think they've been in power for such a long time, you know, like if you never get told no, you can just do whatever you want, because no one's ever gonna tell you no. And I kind of think that's where we're at right now.
Not
just in the UFO field, but like even in politics. If nobody ever tells you no, or gives you a smack to the head when you screw up or do something terrible, you're just gonna, there's no consequences for these people.
No, there isn't. And, I don't know how many times I say this, I blame the National Security Act. And I'm not saying this country shouldn't have national security. Every country should. Any serious country should.
Of course.
But I blame that law, because it really created another a secret government that's not accountable to the people. We have a constitutional government, and then we have this secret rogue government that does whatever the hell it wants.
Right.
And that needs to be fixed. Either they amend it, or I don't know what. Something needs to be done about it.
Honestly, I have no idea what the answer would be for that one.
Because we need security, national security, right?
Right. I mean, this is the whole reason why Trump got elected and he did nothing about it.
Nothing. And that's what drives the people who really look at this, because he was like, I will drain the swamp. He didn't do shit. He like surrounded himself with the swamp. It was really weird, and people still believe the guy.
It's it's one of those things.
It is one of those things.
The moment you get elected, they pull you into a back room and they show you the JFK assassination from an angle that nobody's ever seen before.
And this then is your future.
They say, this is what happens if you go against us. And then, we're pushing up on an hour and a half here. You still got time?
Okay, yeah, we're almost done. We have a couple more things. I did skip because I saw that. But this is important. This is a couple days ago only. So Congressman Brichette, Moskowitz, Luna, and probably Gates too, sent a letter to the Inspector General, because, Grush went to the Inspector General, right, filed a report and asked for protection, whistleblower protection, and gave him direct evidence, even classified stuff. And then they said his case was urgent. Was it relevant and urgent? But anyway, I forget the words he used. So they are writing to the Inspector General Mannheim and asking him that he has until September 26th to answer these questions. Specifically, Mr. Grush could not provide the names or titles of individuals with firsthand knowledge of or direct access to UAP crash retrieval programs. This is on Congress letterhead. Mr. Grush could not provide the names of titles of individuals with firsthand knowledge of or direct access to UAP reverse engineering programs. However, Mr. Grush testified that he provided this information to the Intelligence Community Inspector General's office, which is him, right? Mm-hmm. So they're saying, which intelligence community members, positions, facilities, military bases, or other actors are involved with UAP crash retrieval programs directly or indirectly? Two, which intelligence community members, positions, facilities, military bases, or other actors are involved with UAP reverse engineering programs directly or indirectly? Please respond to these questions by September 15th, 2023. What is that, 2 weeks? No, more, 3 weeks.
Do you think they actually will?
I mean, this is Congress asking me to do that. Nancy Macy, Burleson. I don't know who this is. I mean, why wouldn't they, right? It's the Inspector General office, but doesn't that give these guys time, like the facilities, the military bases, to like, it's given them 3 weeks to move everything. If they can.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah.
They should have said tomorrow.
And they have contained classified material. We request access. Okay, so they're saying if the information requested in the questions above contain, of course it does, classified material, we request access to this information in a secure setting no later than September 26th. Look, so that's another month.
Yeah, I mean, you even sent me the article today, I think. I mean, there's obviously a schism going on, and we've said it over and over and over again, or I've said it anyway.
Schism
in government. Between people who want to get this out and people who don't. And I feel like they just gave him a big opportunity to find ways to not let it out.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you do that? I would do that. I'm like, oh, thanks. Okay. I'm like, we have a month to get everything out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, all right. And since we're at the end here, I don't want to go, this is a great article. It just talks about what's happening. Where Arrow came from, right? It was a UAP task force before, and then it became like this, and then the DOD took it over, and now it's Arrow. So it's basically hiding stuff instead of
We know that from what's his dumb face,
Kirkpatrick. Yeah.
Obviously, so, lying on the stand.
Yeah, we'll share this, but definitely great read. You know, I definitely recommend our listeners reading this.
Definitely.
UAP SecClim. It just goes through everything. So it's Liberation Times. It's a great website. And then I did want to end with some comedy.
Oh, good. Love comedy.
So this account is hilarious. It's called Cosmic Judas. I don't think he believes in any of this, but he makes fun of all the celebrities. This is cult art. But please, I'm going to play this. You're going to love it. It's so funny.
Everybody watching this right now is looking at your face. We are not alone. There is an intelligent species engaging with this planet. So who is this guy really? I'm Ross Coulthart. There is a non-human species, and it's incredibly benevolently well-disposed to the human race.
No, I guess if you're listening, it's not funny.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. As always, you can see everything that we talked about. It's in the show notes. There will even be some extra stuff in there.
Yeah, we'll put everything in the show notes. And what are we at? An hour and a half. That's not bad, right?
No, not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, and we're caught up to everything until today. You know, that article from Liberation Times was today that they released it. Awesome. Lots going on there. I don't know. So where are you sitting with Grush and these guys?
I'm a believer.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's anything with Grush that I makes me question, you know, what he's saying. He hasn't done, I mean, I know the article that came out, the hit piece on him about PTSD and being an alcoholic. I mean, speaking from experience here, I can't, that doesn't make me distrust anything that he said.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, they're saying, I mean, what they're basically saying, because he has, he could have just made up this stuff, or he's not to be trusted.
I mean, as we've proven, you know, show after show, I mean, this stuff is not new. I mean, it's new to some people, but right. Government employees, military employee, I don't know, is it employee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've been coming out and saying this stuff for years, decades.
Yeah. And high from high levels, maybe not presidents. Well, kind of. I mean, I guess Clinton always said that he wasn't in the know and they wouldn't tell him. Right. That was his excuse.
Right.
Obama tried to pretend that he knew. I think Trump also pretended he knew, which he probably could, though, because did you know his uncle, John Trump? We've talked about this. We should do a deep dive in that.
Yeah, that'd be we've got a lot of stuff to do deep dives on.
I know, I forgot to write it. Well, anyway, so we did it. We're caught up now.
Sorry for the delay, you CIA and FBI and DOD listeners. Sorry to disappoint you for a few days, but we're back.
Yes, we are.
That is the I Want to Believe Adam, and he's going to tell us about our sponsor today.
Our sponsor, that's right. Yes, Kineba, it's spelled Q-I-N-N-E-B-A. It's a weird spelling because it's ancient Aramaic and it means hemp in Aramaic. So Q-I-N-N-E-B-A, it's also pronounced Kineba, and it is a legal hemp marketplace. So go ahead, check them out. You got CBD, other cannabinoids there, Delta 8, if it's legal in your state. Great prices, always deals. Make sure to go and check them out to support us. Also, if you want to support us directly, there is a link at the end of every show. And you can, I think $1.99 is like the least, and it goes up to whatever. I don't know what it is. But yeah.
Give us your money.
Exactly. We're grifting here. we won't make a penny out of this, and even if we did, you know, I don't think it'd be called grifting. It'd be like maybe covering our costs a little bit.
Yeah, I was gonna say any money we make will go back into the show, like better mics and stuff like that.
Exactly. So. Right now, yeah, and even like the video software we use is like it's not even branded. You know, it's because it's free. We don't even pay for that. Nothing is.
We don't even pay for the audio editing software, and I know because I do the audio editing.
Yeah, it's all free stuff. Exactly. So yeah, I mean, anything that comes into the show will just make it better. You know, it won't go into our pockets and like, you know, go on vacation and sipping margaritas.
I wish.
So yeah, and then visit us and follow us on Twitter, please. We're at UAP the podcast. Visit us there. We also have a Rumble channel, which I have not updated in months, and I really should. But yeah, we're there also. I think that's about it. You know, maybe we should go on YouTube because there's so many of these guys now on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. It's like the main podcasting platform at this point.
Yeah, podcast basically means video now.
Yeah, well, we don't use actual video of ourselves. We use little avatars.
We do, yes.
Well, also, do you think mine is a guy or a girl? Because I keep going back and forth on it.
I think it's a guy.
I kind of think it's
a girl. Oh, I see what you're saying. Could kind of be a girl.
It doesn't really matter. It's just it's a cool photo.
Very cool photo. And I love the photo you have on your Twitter, which is that pyramid, that flying pyramid. Really cool. Yeah. I don't know where you found that, but it's awesome.
I can't remember. It was probably, let's be honest. I don't think it was Reddit. I think I just found it someplace online.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, also follow Topher, interact with him if you want. We will include all that, all those links in the show notes. Thank you, listeners. Really means a lot to us that you're listening to the shows. And please share it with friends and family. You know, don't keep it a secret. Get it out there. Everyone needs to know this information.
definitely. And feel free to give us feedback either on Twitter or on the, I mean, I know on Spotify, we've got like a little thing where you can respond to our show.
Right.
So do that. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, if the show is too long, let us know. We'll cut it back another 40 minutes, you know? All right, cool, cuz.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening to the Uncovering Anomalies podcast, and we will see you all in, I was going to say a week, but I guess now it's just going to be a couple days.
Yeah, exactly. 5 days.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. We'll be right back.